Creep It Real, the Alaskan podcast about the paranormal, fitness, and other favorite topics with your host, Jesse Desmond. Welcome to Creep It Real. I'm Jesse Desmond, coming at you from the Golden Heart City, Fairbanks, Alaska. Tonight, I'm going to share with you the story and research of the White Lady of Birch Hill Cemetery, which is really a local story for me because it's right here in Fairbanks. I urge you to check out the Facebook page, which is linked below the podcast description, or you can simply search for Creep It Real podcast on Facebook. You can find pictures, and those will be referenced in the podcast. All that stuff, it's all on Facebook. So let's see here. Before we get started, I wanted to take a moment to give a quick shout out to Adagio Tea. This is not a paid advertisement. This is just me with a cup of tea in front of me, smelling it. And it's right now I'm drinking the grapefruit oolong, and it's really good. It's my last little bit of grapefruit oolong. I need to order some more. So, go check them out. It's adagio.com. They have a bunch of different types of stuff. You can order small amounts or like a pound or whatever. You can even like make your own tea combination, which is kind of cool. I don't know about you, but that's what I'm drinking tonight. So let's see. I recently watched a new movie on Amazon called The Invisible Man. It's the new version with Elizabeth Moss and Oliver Jackson Cohen. Just thought I'd share with you guys. I thought it was really good. It's a brief synopsis if you don't know what this movie's about. There's this woman, and she is like super controlled and kind of mentally and emotionally abused by her husband. And she manages to like run away basically in the middle of the night, and you know, she goes like to her sister's, and she later finds out that her husband has died, right? And he leaves her all this money and stuff, and there's like some stipulations, whatever. And I guess it's important to say that her husband is a top innovator, or one of the top innovators in the world of optics, right? So, you know, is he dead? They're pretty sure he is. You know, that's what they've been told. Anyway, so Elizabeth Moss, her character, she starts thinking that she's being followed and stuff, and she kind of gets a little attacked. And she doesn't know what's going on, and she starts to like kind of figure it out. Anyway, I'm not going to spoil a whole bunch for you. If you watch the trailer, you kind of get the gist of that from the trailer. I was a little worried about it because I think the last Invisible Man movie was the one with Kevin Bacon, and that was pretty bad. Was not a big fan of that. So this movie, it like kept me on the edge of my seat. It was really suspenseful, and it actually got my anxiety level up a bit. So I don't know, it was really cool. I really liked it. I watched it on Amazon. Check it out. I'm actually going to link that on the podcast, like in the podcast description, so that way you guys can find it. All right, so ready to get creepy? All right, so we're going to talk about the spectral figure referred to as the White Lady at a local cemetery that overlooks Fairbanks. It's Birch Hill Cemetery. It's a pretty prominent feature in Fairbanks if you're around like the north side of the city. It's it's over by the box stores. Cemetery. It sits on a hill. There's these big stars on the side of it, the steep side of it. that form the Big Dipper, which is the symbol that you find on our state flag in case you are out of the state. And it's right at the right at the corner of like the Steese Highway and the Johansson. So if you ever need to find it, let's see here. So I'm looking at my notes. All right. So Birch Hill Cemetery was created in 1938, and it kind of took over as the main cemetery for the city of Fairbanks. Since Clay Street Cemetery was the very first cemetery for Fairbanks, and that was filling up fairly quickly. Birch Hill Cemetery covers roughly about 32 acres, and it's on the kind of situated on the southwest side of Birch Hill, and it's still open for burials. It's supposed to be home to three ghosts. So there's supposed to be a little girl, a young boy, and the infamous white lady. And who are these spirits? Do we know? And what do they want? That's kind of what we're going after. So a white lady, if you are familiar with these types of ghosts, they tend to be wanderers, and they seem to be waiting for something or someone, typically. Preface that. As a local paranormal investigator, I've been doing this for a long time, off and on. I've gone there so many times because since they're still burying people, it's a very active cemetery, and you can pick up all kinds of stuff. So the first thing I ever picked up in the way of EVP came out of Birch Hill Cemetery, and that was back in 2001, and it was simply a female voice clearly saying hi, and I had to crank up the volume in order to hear it on my voice recorder. So that was pretty cool, actually. And it was actually about this time of year when I went up there the first time to get that. You can also pick up a lot of orbs and spirit photos and stuff like that over at Birch Hill Cemetery. So if you are a beginner ghost hunter, ghost investigator, go check out Birch Hill Cemetery. Okay. So EVP, that is electronic voice phenomena. In case you are living under a rock at this point, don't know what that means. And that means it's electronically captured sounds that resemble speech, but they're not the result of an intentional voice recording. Like you're not talking directly to someone. You're kind of talking, and maybe you pause, maybe you ask a question to seemingly nothing, and you end up getting something on your recorder. And let's see here. So back in 2012, I had a group that a paranormal investigation group. We were called PEAK, Paranormal Explorers of Alaska. And we always use the cemetery for training and to figure out, just, you know, test out new equipment and figure things out. And, you know, you can't just jump into it one day and magically have answers. You have to always practice and get out there and do stuff. So, you know, I had all these pictures of orbs, and we had some wisps, I think, a little bit, and some EVPs and stuff. And so in May of 2012, Neely and Tony of IOPIA, which is the investigators of the paranormal in Alaska, they came up from the Anchorage area, and we were planning on maybe picking up some EVPs and pictures and who knows what else, right? So we went out and we did pick up some EVPs, and I finally got a really nice ghost picture, and that's actually going to be on the Facebook page. I'm going to have three photos in succession of each other, and then the fourth one is going to have, you're going to see like a wispy thing in the trees, and that's the ghost right there. Yeah, again, check Facebook for this, because that's where I'm going to be posting a whole bunch of photos and that sort of thing. Okay, so before I really get into what we found at the cemetery, I want to go over the sighting reports that have been pretty common over the years. So there was a sighting supposedly of a ghost girl who wears a white dress from the early 1900s. Birchill Cemetery features a good size infant and child section, and since the cemetery opened up in 1938, it's hard to believe that there's a girl in clothes from the early 1900s, unless the witnesses are referring to the first half of the 20th century, right? The ghost at Birchill Cemetery, there's also one that says that a ghost at Birchill Cemetery was hung from a birch tree. That never happened there. So the death penalty in Alaska lasted until 1957, and there were only 8 people that were ever hung in the state that we know of that was recorded by the law. 3 of those hangings happened in Fairbanks, but they took place over 2nd Avenue between the old courthouse and post office building and the bank, which was right across the street. And I believe now that's New York Life or something. And then the old courthouse / post office is the big Art Deco building that's downtown in Fairbanks. And all those hangings, they would build scaffolding on the second floor and hang people there. And that's kind of an interesting thing in itself, because the 3 people that were hung, one of them, they didn't measure the rope right, and so the head snapped off and rolled down the street. And there's rumors that you can occasionally see a ghostly head rolling down the street sometimes, and I've never seen it, but I've heard stories. Okay. Another one is that there's a ghost of a young boy about 7 or 8 from about the 1930s or 40s, and he's supposed to haunt the cemetery. I guess that would just indicate that there was a boy buried right around the opening of the cemetery. That's possible. That's very possible. But I've never caught an EVP from a boy, or pictures that would indicate a boy or anything like that. So those are kind of the other stories. We're going to focus on the White Lady of Birchill Cemetery, because we totally found out who she is, and that due to research. And I really want to go into that, because that's what I like to do. And it doesn't just, ghost investigation isn't just going somewhere and getting photos, getting audio and going, woo, I got it. You know, you have to do a lot of research, and that's, I have a lot of history in my background, including a degree. And that's one thing I love to do is research. So in May of 2012, I took Neely and Tony to the general area where I'd gotten my original EVP back in 2001. And we began shooting video and recording audio, taking pictures. I'm really big on taking pictures. That's like one of my things. And of course we did have EMF detectors with us at all, you know, all the times and stuff. But it's kind of hard to take pictures and look at an EMF detector to see if there's any fluctuations going on around you. So, you kind of have to figure out what you're doing and how you're going to approach that. So sometimes I would take pictures and I'd stop and I'd pull up my EMF and I don't know. Anyway, so I'm sure that we looked probably kind of crazy because we spent about 3 hours just walking around, kind of talking to ourselves, trying to get some kind of EVP or some kind of ghostly something to show up. And since it's May, we went out in the evening, but it was still pretty bright outside, which you're going to see in the photos that I post. I think we went out from probably about 6:30-ish in the evening to about 9:30 in the evening. So it's still really bright out. Like, we were getting real close to summer solstice, and I don't know, it's just light all the time. So, okay, so we started, we kind of focused our EVP questions towards the white lady, and what we found is that we actually got a male voice recorded that said, "Helen," and that was in response to the question, "Who is the lady in white?" And at the time, we were actually standing close to, not next to, but close to the grave of Helen Finley. And that's right around the area where I captured the high EVP in 2001. So I started looking into Helen Finley. And if you look on Facebook, I do have the grave sites of Helen Finley and then her husband as well posted on there. So she was 33 when she died in February 22nd, 1956. Her obituary appears on page 2 of the Fairbanks Daily News Miner on February 23rd, 1956, and states that she left behind a husband named Sherman and that she died while at St. Joseph's Hospital. And she'd been admitted there on February 12th. So, pulled out my research gloves there. And I went on to Ancestry.com. And I found Helen's full maiden name was Helen Maureen McLaughlin. And now the initial problem with finding Helen before I was able to make it to any library or online search and stuff was that she wasn't listed on any plot listings for the cemetery back in 2012. So that meant that I was kind of searching for like a mystery person, and we just kind of had her gravestone information and then the news clipping that I was able to find. And yeah, so sometimes you run into that, you know, I think they switched owners around that time for who owned Birch Hill Cemetery, because it was owned by the Fairbanks North Star Borough, and now it's privately owned by a funeral home in town. So, you know, there was just some overturn there, and they just kind of got some names lost. So, one thing I was able to do, because I wanted to figure out like how Helen died, I wanted to get some background information on her. I asked for a copy of her death certificate from the state, and that was pretty interesting, actually. And that was actually my first time asking for a death certificate. So, let's see here. Helen had developed a malignant adrenal tumor and died from a primary adalsteronism I hope I'm saying that right. It's kind of a weird long word. Not one that you say out loud too often. So there were other significant conditions that contributed to her death, according to the death certificate. There's a subdural hematoma, nephrotic syndrome, and hemolytic reaction. So I'm not part of the medical field, so I had to look up each of these terms. And let's see here. Helen had an adrenal tumor, and that was overproducing a hormone called aldosterone. And so the adrenal glands, they sit on the kidneys, and it's basically this tumor. It's not totally uncommon. Even back in the 50s, it wasn't totally uncommon. It was a simple surgery to try and fix it. So nephrotic syndrome is a reaction to a malfunction with the kidneys where edema occurs and the body retains water and sodium. And according to some articles that I found, it can happen after surgery and stuff, but it's nothing that the doctors can't deal with, right? Usually there's some way to deal with that. I'm sorry. Earlier today, I totally took my dogs outside and it's really windy and cold. Okay. So let's see here. The next one would be hemolytic reaction. And I know there's a lot of different types. I didn't really have any specific type labeled out on the death certificate, but basically it occurs when the blood that's used in a transfusion doesn't really mix too well with the patient's blood, and it's kind of an easy fix that the doctors can deal with usually, but it does mean that the patient's antibodies are literally attacking the new blood in some sort of fashion. So, having watched a lot of, I don't know, just like true crime kind of shows and stuff, I kind of had an idea of what a subdural hematoma was. And basically that just means it's a head injury of some sort. The actual definition is that it's a traumatic brain injury caused by arterial tearing. Let's see here. The tumor, according to the death certificate, had formed 2 years prior to her death. Primary adulterostenism, whatever, was onset 1 month before her death. And that's probably one reason why she really went into the hospital. Nephritic syndrome set in 2 months before her death, probably another reason why she was in the hospital. And the hemolytic reaction was onset 5 days before her death, which means that after her surgery that happens. And let's see, where am I in my notes here? The subdural hematoma was onset four days before her death. So what really happened to Helen? Had she fallen in the hospital? Did someone hit her over the head while she was recuperating? We don't know. We don't know what caused the subdural hematoma. So this is almost like a true crime sort of thing, which is, I've been listening to a lot of true crime podcasts and I've been watching a lot of true crime shows. So I'm a little excited about that in kind of a weird way. It's kind of morbid to say that I'm excited about something like that. Anyway, I kind of wish that we had a medical log so we could figure out the answers to these questions. But I guess it's kind of lost to time because patient confidentiality, right? So the simplest explanation, which is probably what happened, is that Helen took a bad fall while she was at St. Joseph's Hospital and while she was recovering. And that's pretty possible, right? Like, not everyone feels all that great after they have surgery and stuff. I don't know what kind of medicine they had her on or anything. Let's see here. So, I guess that's kind of it. Like, the lady in white at Birch Hill Cemetery, with all the research and stuff that we had found, it turns out it's Helen Finley. You can visit her grave up there. It's a red marble headstone, kind of a flat headstone. You'll see it if you check the Facebook page. Let's see. Kind of going through my notes here. Sorry, this is my first long podcast, and I'm brand new at it. All right. Well, I guess I'll just kind of skip down to the end here. If you've had any ghostly encounters at Birch Hill Cemetery or anywhere else, I'd like to hear about them. You can send me your stories through Facebook, through anchor.fm, which is where my podcast is recorded through, or by email. You can. Through anchor.fm, there's also a way to send me a voice message. So if you do that, maybe, tell me your first name, where you are, and keep it quick, maybe a minute or two. And if it's good, I can play it. I can play it on my podcast. Let's see here. Next time on Creep It Real, I'm going to discuss in great detail Bigfoot in the Tanana Valley State Forest, and I'm pretty excited about that too. I am looking for stories on Bigfoot sightings in the area, which is pretty much the interior of Alaska. Again, leave me a voicemail, send me a message, send me a private message on Facebook. Like, Bigfoot's gonna be big. It's gonna be awesome. Hey, you can listen to Creep It Real through anchor.fm, or you can stream it through Spotify, Breaker, Google Podcasts, or Radio Public. Also, stay up to date with new episodes and look for submission calls on Facebook. If you have anything to share, you can send it through private message or email or something like that. Through Facebook, if you've had a sighting, if you have any cool photos or a video clip or just a general question or something, it's all good. If you do have a photo or video clip, I use it and I mention it on the show, I will probably put it on Facebook. So that way everyone can see it and they know what I'm talking about. So be aware of that. Let's see here. And you can find contact information in the description of the podcast. And you can also search on Facebook, and I'll have links to everything there. And if you're a fan of Bigfoot, my friend Beans Baxter has a podcast called Alasquatch, and that's over on Podbean. He's located in Homer, Alaska, which is south central there. And he's been doing a lot of interesting research, and he goes out and he does Bigfoot stuff all the time. His website, for Alasquatch, I'm going to put that in the description because Alasquatch is kind of a weird word. But if you want to Google it, it is Alasquatch, Alasquatch. You can always find it in the descriptions because that's the best way to find a whole bunch of stuff. If you're feeling the need to explore Alaska, go ahead and check out my latest book. I'm a writer sometimes, and my newest book is called The Interior Alaska Alternative Travel Guide. It has paranormal places, quirky destinations, and cool local spots to visit. if you're in the interior. It's available on Amazon, and I have so much stuff in there. There's historical sites and dark touristy things in there and general weirdness. And the best spots to go to if you are interested in sky watching or looking for UFOs or Bigfoot or whatever. But I also have some cool stuff like a list of local breweries and distilleries, if you're into that, as well as locally roasted coffee, because per capita, Alaska has the most interesting coffee, apparently in the U.S. I might be joined by a new kind of co-host, producer. I'm not really sure what we're going with there. But if so, then the next episode the next episode of the podcast will be kind of interesting. Anyway, have a great night and creep it real.